This is World Cafe. I'm Raina Duris. Dionne Warwick has led a remarkable life and has had a remarkable career that shows no signs of slowing down. Considered one of the greatest artists of all time, she's always been a master of winning over audiences. And today, she joins me for a conversation that spans her entire career, from her first standing ovation in front of her church at 6 years old to finding new fans nowadays on Twitter. A new documentary about her life called Dionne Warwick, Don't Make Me Over is currently out now on HBO Max, and recently she released a new duet with Dolly Parton called Peace Like a River. It was a recording session she says was like working with family due to Dolly's connection with Miss Warwick's first cousin, Whitney Houston. And even though there's currently no official announcement regarding new music, Miss Warwick shared with World Cafe that she's working on a new record of gospel songs. My conversation with Dionne Warwick in just a minute. First, her Grammy-winning 1979 hit, I'll Never Love This Way Again. Dionne Warwick on World Cafe.
You looked inside my fantasies and made each one come true. Something no one else had ever found a way to do. I've kept the memories one by one since you took me in. I know I'll never love this way again.
That was my guest today, Dionne Warwick, with I'll Never Love This Way Again on World Cafe. I'm Raina Duris. Miss Warwick, welcome to the World Cafe.
Thank you. Nice to be with you.
I'm so happy to have you. I wanted to start off by playing a song that people will be really familiar with, that song, I'll Never Love This Way Again. It came at a really pivotal moment for you. You'd been considering leaving the music business. Now here we are talking 4 decades later, and we're going to talk about your newest release in just a minute, but first, looking back, is there anything you would say to that Dionne Warwick, that version of you in the late 70s who wasn't sure if she wanted to keep on going?
Yeah, well, it was a period of time where music had drastically changed. My recordings were not being played as often as they were normally played. Not only me, but my peers, you know, we were kind of left in the background. And I have my credentials. I can teach. And I was being very fulfilled being a mommy at home with my 2 sons. So I was ready to say, okay, it's been wonderful. Thank you very much. Bye-bye. And then along came Clive Davis.
I'm glad that you stayed in the business because you released a new duet recently with Dolly Parton called Yes. Peace Like a River. We're going to hear it in a minute. You recorded your vocals separately. I know Dolly wrote the song.
Yes.
What did you think when you first read the lyrics and the music?
They were wonderful, based on the fact that I am in the throes of now doing a gospel CD myself. And this was perfect. So I told Dolly, I said, you know, I'm going to use this on my CD. Oh, please, please, please. And, also, and it fits so well. It says all the right things, things that people need to hear today, mm-hmm. really do.
And you did get together to shoot the music video. You said you were like peas in a pod. Had you met before?
No, that was the first time I'd ever met her. Of course, I knew who she was, and I've heard her recordings, and I've watched her on TV several times, but it was a joy. She is so much fun.
Yeah, tell us a bit about that day you spent together. Why did you get along so well?
She's a hoot, let me tell you. A really funny lady. And there was sort of a relationship anyway, you know, with I Will Always Love You.
Yeah.
A little girl named Whitney Houston.
Of course.
Felt like it was time. It was a family affair.
Yeah. Well, let's listen to the song because I think people want to hear it. This is Peace Like a River from Dionne Warwick and Dolly Parton.
And his birth. children a light to bear.
This is World Cafe. You just heard Peace Like a River, a song from Dolly Parton, and my guest today, Dionne Warwick. That is an inspirational song. And Ms. Warwick, you said that you're working on a new album of inspirational gospel songs. And that's really what you started out singing when you were a little girl.
Right.
Your first time singing with an audience was at church. You were six in New Jersey. You sang Jesus Loves Me at the pulpit. You got a standing ovation.
I sure did.
What did that feel like? Do you remember what that felt like as a six-year-old girl getting a standing ovation?
You know, at six, yeah, kind of, first of all, why are you doing this to me, Grandpa, who was the minister? But as I got into the song, I was hearing comments from the congregation, oh, how cute, and oh, she sounds wonderful, that kind of thing. And I had closed my eyes so tight. And as I opened my eyes, I saw smiles, and it was very encouraging. And at that age, I finally said, okay, if that's what they want to hear, here it goes. And I let it all out.
Why is now the right time for you to go back and make a new gospel album?
I think, first of all, the world needs it. Mm-hmm. They need to hear the word of the Bible. They need to hear the word of Christ. We're going through such a chaotic period. And it's time now for some love and peace and harmony. And that is what spiritual music does, inspirational music does. It kind of quells the madness. You know, when you hear lovely words, it does something to your heart and to your mind.
Yeah. My guest today is Dionne Warwick. This is World Cafe. On your first tour, you sang with Sam Cooke. You visited the South during segregation. And in the documentary about your life, Don't Make Me Over, you talk about the experience of playing for a segregated crowd and how Sam told you not to turn your back on the white side of the audience. Uh-huh. I'm wondering, what did you think? What was going through your head when he told you that?
I wanted to know why. Why not? I just felt that those who had to stand while the other side sat, why should I pay favoritism to the white folks that were sitting down? All those black people that looked like me had to stand. So they got me. And I did turn my back.
And it went, I mean, how did the show go after that, after you turned your back?
Exceptionally well. You know, yeah. I was flooded by both sides of that spectrum. You know, the stage that was straight ahead, I was not going to sing to the band. You know, I was going to sing to my folk. And I eventually turned around and waved at black people, hey, y'all. <You know?
laughs> I mean, there are lots of moments that you talk about in your documentary where you face down sort of people in power, and you seem to do it completely fearlessly. At least it seems that way. Were you ever afraid in those moments?
No, not really. Like I said, I've been singing in front of people since I'm 6 years old. I'm supposed to be afraid of now. Too late.
One moment in the documentary I couldn't believe was how the first of your releases that came out in Paris, the cover art was a picture of a blonde, blue-eyed woman. And I, like, gasped at the TV. What was your reaction when you first saw that cover?
I thought it was hysterical. You know, they did not know who I was or what I looked like. And when I got off the plane, I was fortunate enough to have Marlene Dietrich meet me and take me through all my paces. But when they saw me, they said, you're Dionne Warwick? I said, uh-huh, yeah, sure am. And they really didn't believe me. They thought I should have been white and blonde and blue-eyed. And I said, no. And when I walked out on the stage of the Olympia that evening, opening night, when I opened my mouth and started singing, it was like, oh my God, it is her. It even felt like that coming in from the audience even, because all they saw was this Rob Levine woman on the cover of my CD.
That must have been such an interesting energy coming off the crowd. Like, I can't imagine what that would be like.
Yeah.
I'm going to play another song now, then we'll come back and talk a little more. This is the debut single from 1962, Don't Make Me Over. This is World Cafe.
Don't make me over. Make me over. Now that you know how I adore you, don't pick on the things I say, the things I do. Just love me with all my faults, the way that I love you. I'm begging you.
Don't make me over. The debut single from my guest today, Dionne Warwick. Yeah. Don't Make Me Over is also the name of the recent documentary about her life. So, Warwick, the song that we just heard, and so many of your songs were written by Burt Bacharach and Hal David. And we lost Burt Bacharach about a month ago at the time that we're recording this interview. So first of all, I'm very sorry for your loss.
Thank you. I lost both of my men.
Yeah.
You know, Hal prior to Burt, of course, but yeah, it still stings a bit. It really does.
Take us back. What is your earliest memory of Burt Bacharach?
Meeting him for the first time in a recording studio. And how vibrant he was musically. And conducting the orchestra for the song that we're doing background work for. And he approached me after the session to ask if I would like to do demonstration records and more background work on songs he'd be writing with a new songwriting partner, Hal David. And I said, as long as it didn't interfere in my education, because you have my mother kill me and you. our relationship, we were known throughout the entire industry as the triangle marriage that worked. But we primarily began as just music people, I come in, I do a demo and leave, come in, do a background session, which developed into a friendship and eventually became family. So he remained a part of my family.
Why do you think that you and Burt and Hal were such a potent combination when it came to making songs together?
I feel more than anything else, we were doing something that nobody else was doing. We really created our own niche out in the music industry.
The moment I wake up, before I put on my makeup, I say a little prayer for you. Walk home in my hair now, and wondering what dress to wear now, I say a little prayer for you.
Listening to World Cafe, I'm Raina Duris. My guest today is Dionne Warwick. Ms. Warwick, over the last few years, Twitter has reintroduced you to a whole new generation of fans, but you've always been keeping an eye on the younger generations, and there is this wonderful story in the documentary about your life, about the time you invited Snoop Dogg over to your house at 7 in the morning, no later than 7, to have a conversation with him. Could you tell us what happened?
Yeah, there were five of those youngsters, as they were, who were in the rap business, gangsta rap, that I totally disapproved of. And they felt that I was a part of their problem. And I said, okay, if that be the case, then I'm going to make you let me know, how can I be a part of this solution? And I gave them a time to be at my home, and they were there on time. And we sat in my living room for about 3.5-4 hours just talking. And I think that basically is the solution to a lot of problems, conversation. Tell me what I have to do in order to get you to understand how I'm feeling and get me to understand how you're feeling. And by the end of the time frame that I felt we had come to a solution, apparently they heard me. Yeah. You know, when I get a call from Snoop saying, hey, you know, thank you. Thank me for what? I remember when I sat in your living room, you told me my ears and my body and my mind was going to grow up. I was going to get married. I was going to have children. And one of those children was going to be a girl. And what she might say to me and did say to me. And I had to stop and think. Those words were given to me very early in my life. Like I said, I was pleased that I was able to at least give them something to think about, food for thought.
Right. And that did that end up being a lifelong friendship, I guess? Like, you guys are still friends.
Oh, absolutely. You know, they call me Mommy D. and I am old enough to be his mother.
I mean, I feel like you're still becoming friends with people through Twitter, even if it's giving talking to's, even if they're not like super serious. But Chance the Rapper, I know you made friends with.
Yeah,
that way.
It is. Not only made friends with him, but I recorded with him.
Yeah, of course. Throughout your entire career, it seems that any time that you've seen something that you thought was wrong or needed changing, you've confronted it, whether it was misogyny and violence in rap lyrics or segregation or the AIDS crisis. People remember your 1985 song, That's What Friends Are For, which you donated all the royalties of that song to AMFAR, the AIDS charity.
Mm-hmm.
Through your whole career, you've bridged divides. What do you think it is about your approach to people that helps bring them around to a sense of understanding?
I love running my mouth. I love to talk. And as I said earlier, conversation really is the key. And I have no problem in saying what is on my mind or what I feel to be true and honest and can be of service. And that's just the way I was brought up, to be true to who I am.
Yeah.
And I always will.
You've done so much, so many incredible things over the decades. But I know you're not stopping anytime soon. I mean, I saw your face on a billboard on my way to work today. So I know you're touring again, and you're working on this gospel record. What is left out there, Ms. Warwick, that you still want to do?
You know what? I don't make plans any longer. You know, we make plans and God laughs. I feel that I've been put on a path. I've been given a wonderful, wonderful gift, my talent. And I feel I'm following the path that God gave me to follow. So I can't tell you where I'm going. I'm going to just go where he's leading me to go.
Well, I look forward to finding out where that is and what you do. I'm very excited. Well, let's close out with That's What Friends Are For. Ms. Warwick, thank you so much. It's been such a joy to talk to you.
My pleasure.
Well, then close your eyes and try. Smiling, keep shining, knowing you can always count on me. For sure, that's what friends are for good times and bad times. I'll be on your side forever.
That's What Friends Are For, a collaboration between Stevie Wonder, Gladys Knight, Elton John, and my guest today, Dionne Warwick. Thank you once again to Dionne Warwick. I'm Raina Duris, back in a moment with more World Cafe.